Good morning, everyone. I will continue the topic of external interfaces in the OsmoCon stack. And during the last Osmo DevCon, I already presented an idea. It was an initial idea for implementing the external interface for supplementary services and for USSD. And basically, it was a kind of discussion, what is going to be done. But today, I'm happy to present the actual state of this work, what was actually done since then. And I would like to start from a quick introduction into supplementary services and into USSD. Then I will give a quick overview of how supplementary services are handled in commercial networks, which messages are used there, and which protocols are used. Then we will have a bit more detailed overview of how we do handle USSD requests in OsmoCon stack. I will give some example how to connect OsmoCon stack to some external USSD gateway, and also there will be some little demonstration. So what is USSD? I guess everyone do use USSD and or used it at least once. Basically, it stands for Structured Supplementary Services Data. It gives you an idea that there is also structured supplementary services, but we will talk about them later. And USSD requests are usually sequences of numbers separated by star symbols or hash symbols. And for example, this is quite commonly used USSD request for asking for your own extension in OpenBSC or OsmoMSC previously. And usually USSD is used in order to check some information, for example, check your account balance or check your own MSISDN if you forgot for some reason. It's usually used to deliver some news and some other paid advertisements from operators. Also, it for example, in some countries, it's used to activate or deactivate packet data services. And of course, it can be used by the network to notify subscriber about some events and something else, I don't know. Yeah. And from the technical point of view, USSD was already, as I already mentioned, is a structured kind of call-independent supplementary services. And basically, there are two kinds of supplementary services, call-related and call-independent. And the call-related supplementary services is outside the scope of this talk. But call-independent, there are also two types of call-independent supplementary services, structured and unstructured. And for structured, there is a limited set of applications. For example, you can manage the call forwarding or call waiting service. You can activate or deactivate it. But anything else is unstructured supplementary services. It's up to the operator how to use, how to define which services to bind to which kind of requests. And in general, USSD is a bit similar to SMS, but the main difference from SMS is that real-time communication is assumed. And unlike SMS, the maximum length of a single USSD message is 160 octets. And of course, you may ask me what is so special about USSD, and for the end users, it's for the network providers, of course, it's cost efficiency, because USSD uses existing protocols and you don't need to upgrade anything, you don't need to install new software or even write something. There are lots of already implemented free and commercial USSD gateways. In general, USSD is fast and responsible itself. It enables almost real-time applications, quick response. There is no such thing like in SMS, like store and forward. It's kind of real-time communication. And it allows operators to create interactive applications based on complex menus with multiple elements. And some interesting facts about USSD, not to make this talk so boring, is that one, I think the most interesting part is that this format, which is usually used by subscriber to request, to make a USSD request, It's not mandatory. We don't have to use these hash and star symbols always. And the only restriction is default JSM 7-bit alphabet. So some requests, like basically DNS names, could be also used in JSM, but for some reason it's not popular. But some old Nokia phones actually allow to compose such ASCII-based requests. I'm not sure how the commercial networks handle this, but Osmocom stack can handle this. Yeah, and another interesting fact is that USSD message coding is actually based on MAP. And for some of you who don't know about MAP, it's an SS7 protocol. It's described, there is a specification about this protocol. It's about 1,000 pages. Yeah, and basically every phone does MAP message encoding and decoding. So on the network level, you get already encoded MAP message from a phone. And then also a crazy fact about USSD is that it can be used as a transport for web. And there is even some optional, it's optional feature, and there is even some specification by web forum. I don't know is somebody using this or not, but it sounds funny. And we are moving to a bit different part of this talk, is that how it's usually done in commercial networks, how supplementary services are usually handled in proprietary networks, and a subscriber can request. On the top left side, you can see that subscriber can use man-to-machine interface to initiate request, USSD request. And basically, it can be handled either by USSD gateway or by any, almost any component of the core network. So you may have some applications in the VLR, even in the MSC, and so on. And this is the difference from how we handle USSD messages in the Osmocom stack, but we will talk about it a bit later. And yeah, some technical details. USSD message coding is, a USSD message is basically encapsulated in a different ways on different interfaces. So on the radio interface, I mean, A interface encoded according to the 0.04.8 specification, but then at the MSC, it basically re-encapsulated into TCAP and MAP in commercial networks, I mean. And also a few remarks that mobile originated session can be handled, as I already said, at any external entity or inside the network itself. And any entity or any internal entity of the network or any external entity which is responsible for USSD handling, can also initiate mobile terminated USSD service. And this is some small message diagram in USSD, and for USSD it's quite small. So the most important things you should notice here is that basically after the re-encapsulation, message remains the same. So here it was encoded by a mobile station, then it was re-encapsulated to MAP, and it remains the same. And it's a good advantage for us, since unlike SMPP, we don't need to transcode anything. Yeah, and this is not the most important. We usually have a few components, like invoke, where can subscriber, it's basically the beginning of the communications. Yeah, invoke is used to request something. There is also a return result, return error, or reject. And yeah, this is the details of USSD protocol. And how it was done previously in OSMA MSC, and how it is still done in OSMA network in the box. Basically, all USSD requests were terminated at libosma MSC. This is the MSC implementation. And we only had hard-coded our number request only. This is the only request that was supported. And the problem is that adding support for new codes, for new requests, new services, would require one to modify the source code, to recompile everything, and to restart the network if it was already started. And I believe it's too complicated for the end user and even for operators. Yeah, we already do have use external interfaces for USSD. It's SMPP, as Harald already presented. For the voice calls, we have MNCC interface. And what about USSD? So it was the main question before Osma DevCon. And we could actually use MAP for that, because commercial networks are using MAP. But there is a problem that, first problem is that there is no stable implementation of MAP in OsmaCom. And also, as you probably already know, MAP is quite complex protocol. And there is also SMPP. It can be used for USSD, but it's kind of hack, and it's not session-oriented protocol at all. So what about GSAP protocol? But before talking about that, we need to introduce GSAP itself, and it stands for Generic Subscriber Update Protocol. Previously, as far as I remember, it was GPRS Subscriber Update Protocol. It's a OsmaCom specific protocol. You won't find it anywhere else, I think, in any other commercial networks. And the main idea of this protocol is keep the complexity of MAP outside the OsmaCom stack. And the current GSAP users are OsmaHLR, OsmaMSC, and SJSM. So they basically use GSAP to communicate with each other. So they don't use MAP. But the main idea of MAP is to keep it as easier as possible, and keep in mind possible conversation between GSAP and MAP, and vice versa. So the advantages of GSAP are, first, it's quite easy to use this protocol. It's basically TLV-based protocol, and easy to extend it, easy to convert to MAP. Yeah, and there were a few disadvantages, and one of them was that GSAP was also not session-oriented, and but we managed to extend it. And if we make it a bit bigger. Here you can see the diagram of classical OsmaCom network. It's only circuit switched domain. I don't include packet switching domain because USSD is pure circuit switched data. And on the left side, we have the radio access network. And then on the right side, we have core network interface. And as I already said, previously, all the supplementary services were terminated at OsmaMSC, but now they are actually transcoded into GSAP and forwarded to OsmaHLR. And in OsmaHLR, we have two kinds of supplementary services handlers. One handler is internal, so you can still ask for your own extension, or we also introduced a way to get your IMSI. And there is some basic routing based on GSAP server, so you can forward or deliver USSD messages to some external gateway which can speak MAP. And for the users who don't want to use GSAP in commercial networks, you can basically replace OsmaHLR with GSAP to MAP converter. So you will be able to speak with some external HLR using MAP protocol and some gateways that also use MAP protocol for communication. And the key idea is that all the OSMA mobile switching centers are connected to a single OSMA HLR instance. So in normal case, it's our kind of gateway for all the GSAP communication. This allows you to convert all the messages easily. And a few extensions to GSAP protocol itself. As I already said, it was not session-oriented, so we had to introduce some new information elements. There are two. One is used to distinguish between different sessions, like each session has its own unique UID, so you can have multiple sessions in parallel. And there is also a session state information element, which basically used to initiate a new session, reuse, or finish it. That's simple. That's just like TCAP. And also, we introduced a few message types, like single message in three variations for, it's just a transport for USSD, and there is new information element which basically carries a raw USSD payload to in this message. And here. Yeah, small diagram of just to visualize what I just said is that on the radio interface, we have a bit different encoding. We have LPDM, we have GSM 0.4.08 header, and also we have 0.4.8 header. So at the MSC, we need to re-encapsulate it to GSAP, basically. And then the external USSD converter can easily convert it to MAP. You can just drop the GSAP header and introduce TCAP header. It's easy to convert. And then, thanks to Harald, we now have USSD support in Wireshark. And I mean, GSAP dissector also does support USSD now. So here we see some example. There is IMSIO subscriber, which actually initiated this request. There is session state. It is begin at the moment, so we subscriber basically initiates a new session, and this session has some identifier now, uniquely, and the message itself is just encapsulated into the service info information element. And here we can see some basic communication diagram. I think it's, there is no need to explain everything here and to go into details, but just to give some understanding for some of you who is interesting to implement something for GSAP, you can refer to this later. And, the current state of this implementation is that in Libosmo core, we have introduced some new API to partially decode the messages, and also we fixed a few bugs, but this API is still far from being ideal, I think. At the Osmo MSC, we introduced a new kind of transactions because there were no USSD transactions before. We introduced the GSAP message coding and decoding. And at the Osmo HLR, we introduced internal and external use supplementary services handlers. We introduced message parsing and basic prefix-based routing, just like we have for SMS. What I think is good to do in the future is, as I already said, improve the Libosmo core implementation of USSD encoding. We're also missing structured supplementary services support, like we don't store anything in the HLR database, nothing about the call forwarding configuration and so on. And at the moment, such requests are just rejected. And thanks to Case, it was fixed because previously we didn't respond to structured supplementary services, and it was the reason for, I mean, a phone could stay on a dedicated channel infinity, I mean, forever, yeah. And also we are missing some supplementary services version negotiation because some old phones, for example, don't support network-originated USSD notifications and so on. And we also have quite good testing coverage for supplementary services. It's not absolute, but in order to find some bugs. And in Osmo MSC, we test just a single mobile originated and mobile terminated request, some multi-message communication between network and mobile station. We also have, we are also testing mobile terminated USSD notification. We are testing USSD request during a voice call, which is, I don't know, quite funny for me. And we also testing mobile station initiated release message. It's used when you don't want to communicate with some external entity anymore. You just press the red button and the communication should stop. And for Osmo HLR, we have testing for internal and external handlers. For internal, we just test the response for your own IMSI or your own MSISDN. And for external, we test the routing. That's it at the moment. And here you can find some basic example of configuration of Osmo HLR. You just need to, here you see the bint IP. It's basically the IP address where HLR would listen for any GSAP connections, because Osmo HLR is a GSAP server in our case. And you define, just like in case of SMPP, there is a bit different naming system. External uses the processing entity, and you define a few of them. Probably later we introduce some ability to add password for them. Then you can define some roles, and as you can see, the generic request is still used in this configuration to request your own MSISDN as a star hash 100 hash. And we also you can also introduce like any other code for getting your own IMSI. And all the USSD requests starting from star 100 star will be routed to the external entity with identificator foo and so on. It should be defined before. And other requests starting from star 999 star 1 will be forwarded to another external entity. And all unmatched USSD requests will be forwarded to Zuo, in this example, external entity. And this is a kind of default gateway in IP routing. Yeah. And I think I will show some demonstration. Just a few seconds. OK. I'm running a virtual network here. And we can see the external. There is, I forgot to say, in Osmo HLR, we have some quick example of how to use, quick example of external USSD entity. It's written in C, written by Harald. And in this network, we use exactly the configuration that was mentioned here. But we only have one external USSD entity for. And let's initiate some communication from a mobile phone. I'm using a Smocom BB. I will increase the font a bit. Okay, again. Okay, demo effect, but if we reboot Osmocom BB, I think it should work. Okay, the base station just stopped to work. I know what's happened. Okay. So now it should work. And let's look at the Osmo HLR. We have some debug output of Osmo HLR. Okay. It was working before. Now service is limited. Okay, probably it's still doing the. Yeah, let's check again. Crazy. Okay, that now it should work. Yeah. Sorry for that. Yeah, as we can see, Osmo HLR recognized this USSD request as internal, and it was handled by internal USSD handler. And the request, the response was your own extension. You can also ask for your own IMSI. Yeah, so here we see our IMSI. It should match, yeah, this one. And then basically, there is an example of external interface. It just responds everything that it just quotes your requests and says like, "Hello, you requested this. Let's just try it like this." As I already said, there is no restriction which uses the about the format of SSD request, so we can use this. Yeah, as you can see, it was handled by the external SSD entity, and it was just quoted and sent back. So here it is. And I think that's it. There are some documentation you can always refer, some great work about extending OsmoCom stack was already done by Firewaves, and then it was before that it was also done by some researchers, I don't know exactly from which university or wherever, but they re-implemented the core network in Erlang, as far as I remember, and yeah, thank you.
So I didn't really understand the entire path because sometimes it seems like it goes through the HLR, but then I think in some slides it looked like it went directly from the MSC to some GSAP gateway. So yeah, how is it really coupled? I mean,
okay, is it okay for?
Yeah, and then and the next one, can you put the next one?
Next one? Yeah.
Yeah. So in here it really looks like you can connect the Osmo MSC directly to the.
Yeah, you basically replace the Osmo HLR by GSAP converter here, and yeah, you can speak.
So yeah, that was my question because on the configuration, I only saw actually you can connect through GSAP to the HLR, but can you specify you want to connect to a different USSD directly from?
I think it's or the task of external USSD gateway.
The point is you don't have Osmo HLR here. Yeah. You have a map HLR connected to GSAP to map converter.
As I said, we just replace Osmo HLR by GSAP to map converter. Thank you.